Hi, everybody. I'm Jerry, and I'm an abstinent food addict and compulsive eater from Titusville, Florida. Hi. And let's open this up with a moment of silence and the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I also like to say the speaker's prayer. So if you know that, would you say it with me? God, fill my mouth with all your stuff and close it when I've said enough. Amen. I just want to give you a little background on how I ended up here for sex on a Saturday afternoon. I'm from Titusville, Florida, and I serve as a trustee for World Service, serving Region 8. And so I guess some people know me from World Service, and I was invited to come here and be a speaker and was given a list of topics. What was I qualified to talk on? And well, I'm a 100-pound winner. I've been in OA for 18 and a half years. I'm maintaining 100-plus-pound weight loss. And well, like I said in an earlier workshop, if I did this, Weight Watchers would have worked in 67 when I had 20 pounds to lose, but I had to keep eating. So so I would have liked to have done like a 100-pounder or a long-timer. For my area of the country, I'm a long-timer, and abstinence, I love talking about abstinence and food plans, and I put there, I've never done a intimacy workshop, but I'd be willing to try. And oh, I got the email back that they wanted somebody to, I could do food plans and intimacy. I'm like, oh man, what did I open my big mouth for? So then there was some question whether or not there could be funds to get me here. And so I got an email saying, well, we're not sure yet. Don't make any plans. Okay, good. Got out of that. And then she wrote me back and said, well, we definitely want to bring you because you're doing two workshops. I said, okay, I'm back on track. So we do PowerPoints in Region 8 for a lot of our workshops. It's kind of, you know, a 21st century technology. So I like doing them. And so I wanted to do a PowerPoint on, I didn't have anything on sex and intimacy. I didn't have a PowerPoint on that. And the OA literature and AA is somewhat lacking in that topic. Someone had proposed a new piece of literature called Practicing the Principles in All Our Affairs, but it didn't fly. But, you know, there's God has a sense of humor because the sex inventory in the Big Book is on page 69. And y'all know about this dyslexic sponsee whose sponsor told her to read page 69 to do her sex inventory, and she thought her sponsor said page 96. So this is what she read. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you have to offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. But to spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic the opportunity to live and be happy. So it's hard for me to, when I do a workshop or when I'm sponsoring, I always go to the literature, okay, because I might be doing something else other than sponsoring if I'm, you know, just talking out my butt. And I'm not an expert on anything, so I'm certainly not an expert on sex and intimacy. Just so you have a little history on me, before I came to OA, I had an affinity for marrying alcoholics. And the first one hit me, the second one hit walls, and the third one ignored me. So that's not, I wouldn't count on me for advice on marriage. Don't listen to me. But I did come to OA, and I am happy to say I recovered in that area of my life too, and I'm now in a very healthy marriage for the last 10 and a half years to a normie. So, hit it, Karen. My little assistant Karen's going to help me here. And intimacy, what does that mean? Into me see, which means I have to get vulnerable if I want intimacy in my life. This is what it was like. That's me before OA. I picked this picture because I went to a size 24 and had to let the sleeves out on that dress in order for it to fit me. And, you know, if you turn sideways, maybe you won't notice I'm that fat. And as you can see, I'm trying to hide. I don't want you to see into me. So I'm trying to hide by pulling that shirt over the front of me. And I wasn't too comfortable with myself. I also was looking for love in all the wrong places. When I came to OA, I was in my, wait a second. Okay, you get back there. And I'm not ready for that other frame yet. Okay. When I first came to OA, I was married, like I said, to an alcoholic, and he got into recovery in AA, and I got into recovery in OA, and we took a break to work on our recovery. And after 5 years of separation, they say you came and then you came to, and then we said, who are you? Because when I married that third husband, we went out on a date and he never went home. And 6 weeks later, drunk as skunks, we eloped. So that was my experience on marriage before OA. So I spent my first 5 years in OA celibate, which was a big deal for me. Because as you can imagine, three husbands, alcoholics, and there was a lot of promiscuity in between. So I did not, just like my food, my appetite in that department was pretty big too. So I don't have good experience with sex or intimacy. So I want you to see this picture. This is what it's like now. This is a picture of my husband and me on our honeymoon at Ocho Rios in June of 2000. What year? Two? No, one. 2001. We got married, and I have a two-piece bathing suit on, and that's very difficult. I want you to see I'm not hiding behind clothes anymore. I got something on. Just step back so you can see. Can you see? I'm wearing clothes that fit, and they're form-fitting, and I'm not hiding anymore. Since I've lost over 100 pounds, I have curves, and I'm not embarrassed or afraid for you to see them. Do I look perfect? No, and I don't want to look perfect because the synonym for perfect is boring. And I'm not boring. So I'm standing here. I'm a little nervous because I've got to be intimate with you, and that is allow you to see into me. So I was trying to look for some literature on how we could proceed. I want to go back to childhood. You know, when we're kids, we're kind of carefree, and we don't have any secrets, right? You just can tell your best friend anything, right? And then we developed this affinity for food, and I had a new relationship with pizza and other things, but that kind of took a first seat in my life. So any relationships I could have had prior to getting into recovery were going to be skewed by food. So what I did, I first did this PowerPoint. I did the whole thing on the steps and how we could take the steps to develop a healthy sex life and intimacy. But after I worked all day on this thing, I get up the next morning and God said, no, no, no. The steps are about you, okay? And they say the steps are what keep us from committing suicide. And it's true, it did help me because my bottom included a suicide attempt. And then the traditions were about keeping us from committing homicide. But the traditions are about relationships. They are how we conduct ourselves in a group. And guess what? A relationship between two people is a group. So I felt inspired to look to the traditions on how I could get up here and talk to you about, with some credibility, because that is the only piece of literature right now that I have to work with here. So we're going to take a look on how you can develop an intimacy with people and a healthy sex life by taking the traditions. And if you think the traditions are boring, don't leave. Don't leave. I think you may find something enlightening in here. Okay. And what you can find in our 12 and 12 is that if you study the traditions, you find out that they are effective in any human relationship, both inside and outside of Overeaters Anonymous. So how can we apply these traditions to not only our relationships in OA, but in our other relationships in life? Go ahead. There, along with the steps having principles, you know there's principles for the traditions too. And I didn't know where they were at first, and so I had to do some hunting, and I found them in the Service Traditions and Concepts workbook, which is available on the OA website. And so these are the principles behind each of the traditions. And I'll tell you, it was kind of a stretch, but I was able to apply the traditions in a meaningful and sometimes a loose way to relationships. So bear with me on this, okay? Also, we're going to do an Ask It basket. So I'll talk for a little while, and then we're going to open it up for questions. So there's paper on the table. If you have a question, write it down, and we'll try to answer it. And I would ask you to be respectful with those questions. All right? Because, you know, sex is a little hard to talk about even now. So let's look at tradition one, okay? And I'm not going to read the tradition, but I'm going to talk to you about the principle that lies behind that tradition. And that's unity. Go ahead, hit it again. Okay, and together we could do what we cannot do alone. And when we are together, we can... Oh, yeah. Okay, go back. This one here. Okay, I'll read them, okay, so you can write them. Unity, trust, identity, autonomy, purpose, solidarity, responsibility, fellowship, structure, neutrality, anonymity, and spirituality. And if you didn't get them all, you're going to see each one again as we go through each tradition because it's on each individual page. Okay, so now, tradition one. Okay, so this is about unity. And when I think about this step, tradition. When I came to OA, it was all about me, okay? I was self-centered to the max. And what I learned in OA is to have a healthy relationship. And when it came to sex, the focus was always on me and getting my needs met. And you know, when you do that, you can come away from a relationship frustrated. Because you have an expectation. And expectations, I've been told, are premeditated resentments. And the big book says we eat over those. So, and they kill us. I mean, there's some real strong words about resentments in the How It Works chapter of the big book. So, here I was in this. I'm going to talk about my relationship with my husband, Dave, because that is the healthy relationship that I have now today because I took the steps on me and I use the traditions in my marriage. But amazingly, when I took the focus off of me and I concentrated on making sure he was satisfied, guess what happened? My needs got met. It's an amazing thing when you take the focus off yourself and you put it on somebody else, you get a gift. All right, let's flip to Yeah, well, we have a disease of self-centeredness. That makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, tradition two. Go ahead, you can hit that. It talks about a higher power, okay? There is a loving God today in my relationship with my husband. I think in a way we bring a lot of baggage to our relationships because food is a drug we can get our hands on at a very early age. So many of us bring some kind of childhood abuse to the table. So when I took the steps, I was able to look at that and look at my part, because at some point in my growing up, I no longer was a victim. And I became a willing participant in abuse. I got into abusive relationships, but taking the steps helped me break those patterns so that I didn't want a relationship like that anymore. On page 119 in the tradition, I'm going to look at the 12 traditions of OA, and on page 119, I'm going to quote a couple things. When faced with a problem or challenge, we ask God's guidance to show us what is best for the group as a whole. And then when I think about that, I think of that also, I love pages 68 through 67 through 68 in the big book, 67 through 68. And it gives a, oh, I'm sorry, 87. When agitated, what am I supposed to do? Pause and ask God for direction. And you can use that in your relationships, too. Now, my husband's a pretty good guy, but you know what? Sometimes he gets on my nerves. And the steps have taught me how to look at myself, take care of myself, and not let my anger come out sideways at him. So I have an opportunity to be vulnerable with him. And I'm not in a power struggle with my husband either. There is God's in charge, not him and not me. And you know, this trust too. I'm trusting God, but at the same time, when I got married with Dave, a friend of mine gave me a book. It's not OA literature, so I'm not going to name it, but it talked about the man being the head of a relationship. Well, as a liberated woman, you can imagine how that bristled my hair up. And then went on to read a few chapters later, and it said that the woman's role in a marriage is that she is the heart. And I thought, well, you know, that could work for me, because when you have two heads, they're always going to be butting up against each other. So now in my relationship with my husband, I allow him to be the head and I bring the heart into the decisions. Doesn't mean he runs over me. It means that we can work on things together, and he's going to bring the logic in and I'm going to bring the emotion in. And we're going to be able to talk with God's help and come up with whatever works for us as a couple. And we don't argue much. I think in the 10 years we've been married, we've maybe had one or two little arguments. We are really good about talking to each other. We're very respectful of one another. We don't use foul language or anger. You know, if he's really ticking me off, I can leave. And sometimes I say that, you know, this is a little too tense for me to talk to you right now. I'm going to take a break, you know. And you can bring things to the relationship when you've worked on yourself that are just amazing. Dave took me on a cruise once, and I don't know what was going on with me, but I was jacked up, and we're walking to the captain's party, and he's all dressed up handsome in a suit, and I've got a really nice dress on, and I hear myself talking to him, and it sounded like I needed an exorcism. And I hear this venom coming out of my mouth, and I'm thinking, what in the world is the matter with me? Because OA teaches me to look at myself. If I'm pointing the finger at him, there's three pointing back at me. And I stopped right in the middle of the deck, and I looked at him. I said, honey, I just was listening to myself, and I don't like how I've been talking to you. And I'm going to change that right now. Well, I thought he would fall over. But I stopped focusing on myself and focused on making sure he felt like the most important man on that cruise. Well, let me tell you what, the sex was good that weekend. When I take the focus off of me and I put it on him, the fireworks get started. Okay? Talk about our identity in a relationship. How do I keep my own identity? Well, you know, when I was in LA 5 years, and like I said, my first 5 years I was celibate. And after 5 years, my ex-husband and I, we were separated that whole time. We decided to get a divorce. And, you know, I didn't want to spend the rest of my life by myself. And I had done a lot of work on myself. So I could come to a relationship now, not as a woman of substance abuse, but as a woman of substance. And a healthy man could be attracted to me now. But my picker don't work so good. But God put a man in my life for me to practice on. And he was in AA. And between the two of us, we had 9 marriages. So I knew that he wasn't my soul partner, but I was able to learn how to be myself in that relationship and not get lost in it. And I don't know if anybody's going to relate to this or not, but in my morning meditation, I would get this thing that rolled through my head every day, and I'm sure it was God talking to me, and it was like, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And I'm like, what is that about? It just didn't make sense. Well, one night I was over at Lenny's house, and he was acting like a jerk. And he was whining, and he was miserable, and it wasn't about me. And you know how we women do that? We clean up stuff that's not ours because we don't want to be in discomfort. Do you know what I'm talking about? So I was going to go over and say, oh, honey, what's the matter? You know, and make him feel good so that I wouldn't be uncomfortable. And God said, now. And I said, now what? And he said, if you clean up his stuff, you're going to marry another alcoholic and another and another. And I knew my life would not change unless I took a different action right then and there. Whew, so I took a breath and I said, okay, God, I don't know what's going to happen here. You're going to have to help me. And I walked up to Lenny and I could see my right index finger coming out towards his chest and I start tapping on it. I said, do you know what? How you're treating me doesn't feel good and I'm going home. That was one of the most liberating moments of my life. So I'm driving home, and you know that Ann Reddy song, I am woman, watch me roar, because I just walked out your door. I was so happy with myself. And I knew that I would never settle again. I was going to be able to say what I liked and what I wanted and not clean up somebody else's mess. Just before we came here, we had an electric problem. We have a motorhome, and we're staying in it right now. And there was an electric problem which caused a gadget of my husband's not to work. Well, I didn't discover it till later when I realized my computer wasn't working, wasn't charging either. And then I was able to go through and leave him alone because he was boiling mad. And you know, so you know what? I stayed away from him. And I went back and I realized the circuit breaker had popped. So I reset it, but it wouldn't reset. So we knew we had to go out to the outside. And, well, there was some technical stuff. And he was just, you know, throwing stuff around and grousing. And so I said to him, are you mad at me? He said, no, I'm just mad. Isn't that healthy? I didn't own his stuff. Because if he said he was mad at me, then I would have told him, like, well, maybe I should go out for a walk or something. And just get away from him, let him stew, because I knew it wasn't about me. So I was able to express what I needed. And then on the way to work, he was driving to work. And when I told him, I think it's the circuit breaker, well, he didn't want to hear that. He wanted this thing to be broken so he could, you know, throw away an $80, you know, thing I'd only used 3 times. And he cooled off and he called me on the way to work and he said, you know, I think you're right. I was like, yeah. I'm not totally recovered yet, okay? But I don't settle today. And, you know, when I did want to get in a relationship, and I no longer was for sale for dinner. So it wasn't like men were banging on my door saying, hey, there's this 50-year-old fox down the street. Let's see if she'll go out with us. You know, I was, like I said, I was a woman of substance, not substance abuse, and my picker was fixed. So I wasn't dating much, and I was talking to my sponsor on the phone, and she said, why don't you write a letter to God and tell God what you want in a man? And I said, that's probably one of the craziest things I've ever heard of. And she said, well, why would that be crazier than asking God every day to help you with your food? Isn't a relationship just that important? I was like, well, yeah. So I started writing this letter, and she said, be very specific, because she had done this, and here she met the guy downstairs from her apartment. He had lived there a whole year, and she never met him. And they're married to this day. But she said she never put on her list that health was important, and unfortunately he has poor health. So she said, if anything's important, put it on there, whether you think it makes you an ogre or what, put it on there. So I'll just tell you a quick story about this. In the meantime, I wrote this letter, and while I was still working on it, one of my friends fixed me up on a blind date, and I met the guy, and he had really rotten teeth. And I thought, oh, if he can't take care of his teeth, how could he take care of me? So I went home, and I said, oh, God, and if it's not too late, could he please have good dental hygiene? So anyway, I wanted to talk, too, a little bit about you're on tradition three already. Okay, oh, that's where we are. Okay, right. Oh, that's right. You can stay there. Okay. I want you to think about what are your requirements? What do you want in a relationship? So maybe you need to write a letter to God and tell God what you want in a man and or a woman, gentlemen. And don't settle for second best. Don't give yourself away. Because sometimes when you pray and say, God, please give me this or that, and you might think he's saying no, but guess what he might be saying? Wait. Wait. Or maybe he's saying, I have something better for you than that. So, but if it's that important, take that to prayer. Take your relationships to prayer. All right. Yeah, we can go on now. Okay. Autonomy. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Okay, click it. All right. Oh, not that many times, just one time. Thank you there, Karen. Okay. I want my actions to benefit the relationship. I mean, because I chose to be with him now, so it's no longer just about me, it's about us, okay? But at the same time, I don't want our actions to affect other people, too. So there's some things I learned about my relationship with Dave. I don't want outside influences to interfere. Now, I don't have we're a mature couple, so we don't have in-law problems or anything like that, but my husband had grown children, and I didn't have any children. And they're an outside influence. So we had to talk about things like kids before we got in a relationship with one another. So whenever there's a challenge, like sometimes I need to talk to somebody else too, like maybe my sponsor. So I'm going to ask you to think about who do you talk to when there's a challenge in your relationship, because I don't want to be talking about sex and my relationship with my husband with just anybody. I'm going to be pretty selective about who I'm talking to about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. The principle behind tradition five is purpose, okay? And the focus of my relationship with Dave, I want to put my focus on him. And you know what? I'm focused on his assets and not his defects. And he is the most handsome man in the whole world. He's the most handsome man in Titusville, Florida. And I'm going to tell him that. I want him to feel like he is one special guy to be married to me, and I'm one special girl to be married to him. And if you don't feel like that about your relationship, maybe you should take the steps on yourself and how you are participating in a relationship. All right, tradition six is about, solidarity. I like the definition of solidarity. It means shoulder to shoulder. So, I'm only 5'2", my husband's 6'2", so it's kind of hard to get exactly shoulder to shoulder unless I'm wearing high heels, but go ahead and hit it one more time. I don't allow myself to be distracted by other things, like maybe what somebody else has, maybe somebody else's husband has more money or a better job, or there's a guy out there that it looks a little attractive. Well, you know, I'm married, but I'm not dead. And sometimes I can appreciate eye candy, for lack of a better word. And so can he. And I'm not going to just go crazy when he looks at another woman because he's coming home with me. We have motorcycles. Well, I don't have mine anymore, but we went to Daytona for bike week. And we were riding on our bikes, and we had those walkie-talkies where we could talk back and forth. And I'll tell you, you see some things in Daytona on Bike Week that you just wouldn't imagine. There was a young couple on, not to sound gross or anything, but there's a a lowrider motorcycle called a crotch rocket because they're really low and everything. And this young guy had a girl in the back of it with a G-string bikini. And all you can see was her butt. I mean, you could really see her, all of her butt. And I said to him in the thing, I hope she doesn't fall off, but she gets some kind of road rash. And he said, I'm more worried about getting road rash on my tongue. So you know what? He's healthy. And I'm not going to get all jacked up about something like that. You know, that's really, it's kind of funny, really. Tradition 7, this is where everyone in a relationship should be self-supporting through their own contributions. I'm financially responsible for myself. And I think one of the major problems you can have in a relationship is money. When I early in my recovery, I kind of fell apart. I don't have a pink cloud story. I did for a couple months, but then it kind of, the whole world came apart. I separated from my husband. I lost my big fat paying job. I took a 50% cut in pay. I began to experience financial insecurity in recovery. And in my first 5 years of recovery, I racked up $32,000 worth of unsecured debt. Well, then the next 2 years, by 7 years, I was down to about $28,000, and I met Dave. And then we dated for a year, we got engaged, and then we started making plans to get married, and he said, I'd like to just pay off all those bills for you. And I said, no way, Jose, because I didn't want money to come in between us. So I want you to know today, I am debt-free, self-supporting from my own contributions, and I have a couple of bucks in the bank, too. So I thought about filing bankruptcy at one point, but you know what? I purposefully ran credit cards up because I really was a mess. And my first 5 years in recovery, I had to work on myself. So I had a pretty high therapy bill, and like I said, I took this big cut in pay. So I put a lot on a credit card knowing that someday I intended to pay it off. And so, and I did. I did. And I'm really proud about that. In my prior marriages before OA, I married alcoholics who were not self-supporting through their own contributions. Now, what's my part in that? Help me to feel better than them, like, you know, they needed me for something. Well, I was a vortex. I sucked men emotionally dry because I was so needy. But if I could say I was the major breadwinner, I could feel better about myself that way. So it's taken a lot of hard work with the steps, and I'm not that kind of person anymore. Both my husband and I are self-supporting through our own contributions. And you know, another thing, when we were getting married, I insisted on a prenup. Not because I wanted to make sure that I got what I thought would be coming to me, but because I wanted to make sure his children didn't think I was out to get something that was rightfully theirs. And since then, we've had to redo our wills because we, now guess what? I have assets. So I wanted to have a will where I could make sure that his kids, which are now my children by marriage, are the ones that inherit my wealth. Isn't that a miracle? And I say that because I don't want money to get in the way of our relationship. And it's a big one. It's a big one. And it can come out in the bedroom because it forms a resentment. And resentment is the biggest. If you read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the fourth step in the big book is all about dealing with our resentments. They're that important to get rid of. And I don't want resentments in my relationship with Dave. All right, and tradition 8 is about fellowship, okay? Sometimes we need to get some outside help. When I came to OA and I was going to do the 12-step 12-week program. I was going to lose 100 pounds in 12 weeks, take those steps and get out of there. Well, guess what? 18 and a half years later, here I am. I'm working on the steps again. So I'm never going to get what do you call it, normal? What's that, a setting on the dryer, right? That was a joke. You can laugh anytime you want. Normal is a setting on the dryer. Okay, thanks. All right, and on page 176 of the AA, or the OA 12 and 12, it says, do we make other people responsible for our abstinence or other aspects of our recovery? And the answer is no, I don't. I'm taking responsibility for my abstinence. And my first 5 years in recovery, I stayed with another girl in OA, and we had a clean kitchen. I didn't have any things in there that I don't eat. And Dave's a normie. Our first Halloween together, how am I doing on time? Our first Halloween together, we had, he got Tootsie Rolls. Some of you know this story because you've heard me speak before. And it's the kind that are about as big as the end of your pinky finger. I call them the why bother size. Well, I was really proud of myself because I was handing all this candy out to. I was sticking my hand in the bowl, and I was giving the kids the candy. And, you know, when you're in fit spiritual condition, you can do anything. And then after the kids were done, he took one of those Tootsie Rolls out of that bowl, and he unwrapped it, and he bit it in half and wrapped the other half up. I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I just wanted the taste. I'm going to have the rest later. Well, you know what? I left that piece of candy lay on the counter, and I dusted around it, and every day I looked at it. It's still there. It's still there. He forgot about it. So finally, I think it was about 6 weeks of dusting around it, I threw it away. He never missed it. But if you are married to a normie, or especially if you have children, you are responsible for your own abstinence. And I had to get help from my sponsor. I don't know how to live with a normie, right? So we've got this shelf that's his shelf, and it's above eye level. And so I can go to the store. When he gives me a list of what he wants at the store, I go and buy that, and that's it, and it goes up on his shelf. A real quick other story about that, when we did get married, he was married before his wife passed away, and I had my own household, so, you know, we had his stuff and my stuff and some of his kids' stuff, and that kitchen was just an obstacle course. So I asked him if it would be all right if I thinned it down a little and just, you know, kept the valuable stuff, and I would put things I wouldn't just throw things away. I made a stack, and he could go through them, and I found this one thing, and I didn't know what it was, and I said to him, what do you do with this? He said, well, that's a chip clip. And I said, a chip clip? Okay. And I was trying to figure out how you would get that in the bag to get a chip out, and why you would want to just eat them with that thing, you know? And I asked him, I said, why would you want to eat chips with that? And I said, well, no. That's to close the bag up so they stay fresh. Another concept lost on me, and I said, you mean you don't eat the whole bag? And he looked at me and says, keep going to those meetings, honey. So he's only known me abstinent, you know. So it's my responsibility to maintain my abstinence. He can eat whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and it's none of my business what he eats. And he's very thin. I could tell you stories about Dave all afternoon, but I know you want to hear about sex more, so we'll move on to tradition 9 because that's where the good stuff gets started, okay? In our relationships, God's in charge. Not one or the other. But, you know, there comes a point where I have to let him make the decision. I mean, if we're butting heads, how important is it really? I have to set aside my need to be right. And I have discovered, I don't know if your sponsors told you about, do you know there's 3 rules to a healthy relationship? Do you guys know the 3 rules? You might want to write these down. They're that important. The first one is give. G-I-V-E, give. When I take the focus off myself and getting, and I go to giving, I get. The second rule is give. G-I-V-E, give. And what do you think the third rule is? Yeah. I have 43 years of self-centered behavior, and I only have 18 of recovered behavior and giving and away from self-centeredness. So what do you think I'm better at? I'm going to go toward getting my needs met first because I have so much practice with that. But I have enough recovery now where I don't have to act on that. I can act on being recovered. All right. And on Tradition 10, I want to talk a little bit about opinions. And relationships deserve a certain amount of privacy. When I was, before OA, I had no boundaries, and I talked about sex and my relationships to people, and it wasn't any of their business. And it certainly wasn't fair to any of my partners. And I don't do that anymore. That's why, you know, if you thought I was going to come up here and tell you some juicy stuff about what we're doing, I'm not going to do that. Probably wouldn't work for you anyway. We're pretty boring because we're in our 60s. You know, this is something we don't talk about, and that is my needs, my sexual appetite as a mature woman have changed. So if you're young, take advantage of that. You know, and I'm going to talk to God about this when I get to heaven, but men seem to speed up and women seem to slow down. So I have to really be thinking about it to get my needs met. So, and this is a little awkward for me, but, you know, and physical things, our bodies start to change as women, and we may need assistance in a sexual relationship. And I don't mean bring the young guy next door in or anything, but, you know, there's things you can buy to help you, like lubricants and things like that, you know. So, see what you have to look forward to as you get older? But it's nobody's business what goes on between us in the bedroom. When the door's shut, it belongs shut. You know, and when Dave and I first got married, and we didn't have sex until we got married. Boy, is that a switch. Remember that last marriage I told you about? He never went home from our first date. And Dave and I dated for a year, and then he proposed, and we were engaged for a year, and then we got married. And I, the first night of our honeymoon, I got undressed, and he looked at me, and he said, "You are beautiful." Oh, boy, did I want to argue with him. You know, and I wanted to point out my sagging thighs and my apron and my saggy boobs and my angel wings, you know. And I said the hardest two words, "Thank you." And I felt so much anxiety, I wanted to just throw up. I mean, I was terrified to let him see my body because, you know, I was in all those inappropriate relationships. I got abstinent. I got celibate. I had a complete hysterectomy, so I didn't have any parts. I didn't know if what parts were there still worked. So that was that whole thing was a big deal for me to get married at age 50, you know. But I'll tell you, ain't nothing better than being 18 trapped in a 50-year-old body. I'll tell you, it was fun. But, you know, if you are experiencing physical changes due to your abstinence, your physical recovery, and your body's not going to look like it did when you were 18 and fit, you know, this is what it is. And I could have had surgery to have some of that skin removed, but I decided not to do it. So I had to do some praying about acceptance. And acceptance is the answer to all of my problems. And, you know, the parts of me that are going south, because, you know, as you get older, all that loose skin starts to drop. So I did have my butt got down to a healthy size, but now it kind of hangs down on my legs a little bit. And my thighs, that used to be very large, kind of hang down around my knees a little bit, you know. And my stomach kind of hangs over the top of my legs a little bit. But you know what? That reminds me of where I came from. And I'm happy with it. If this is as good as it gets, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. And I think a part of intimacy, too, is intimacy with ourselves and getting to know and love ourselves with what we got. Ooh, this is hard, let me tell you. Okay. So tradition 11 is about privacy. Again, I probably talked a little bit about that. There's no stars in my relationship either, you know. When people say, you know, maybe say to Dave, boy, you got a hot wife, he says thank you. Or people say, boy, you got a real winner of a husband, I say thank you. And we just let it go at that, you know. He's funny, though, because I'm 5 years younger than Dave. And I had long blonde hair when we met. I had it short for a while, but then I let it grow again. But he had a picture of me on his desk in this red convertible. We were in a car dealer, and he took a picture of me in this red convertible. And I looked really young in the picture, and he had it sitting on his desk at work. And after we got engaged, this one guy at work comes up to me and says, well, you know, Helms, traditionally marriages between older fellows like you and young women like that don't work. You want to maybe think about that. And he came home, and he was telling me all this, and he was laughing. And I said, well, you told him we're only 5 years apart, didn't you? He said, hell no, I didn't tell him that. So he was having a good time with that. But, just for today, it talks about we dress becomingly, and I want to make myself look as good as I possibly can. I want to be attractive to that man. So I'm going to take steps to do that. You know, keep my hair looking pretty nice and make sure I'm brushing my teeth. I'm bathing regularly, wearing clean clothes, sexy underwear. And guys, there's sexy underwear for you out there, too. You don't have to wear those white BBD things. And I, you know, when we got married, I bought him some sexy underwear, and I brought it along on our honeymoon. And he was like, he's really conservative. He's a retired Air Force lieutenant colonel, and I mean, I didn't buy him sleeve stuff at the, you know, at the sex store or anything. I just bought some nice colored, kind of really nice underwear. And guess what? He wears them. When it was time to go out and buy new ones, guess what he bought? Sexy ones. So we can make a difference in our relationships. We can teach people what we want in a relationship. And I think the most important thing about relationships is that we have a spiritual responsibility to one another. I think the most wonderful thing you can do in a marriage is to help each other have a closer contact with the God of their understanding. I want to tell you about a little story, and I don't want to talk about religion or anything, but I just want you to hear me. When we got married, the deacon said that the intimacy that a couple shares in a relationship is the same intimacy God wants with us. And I was thinking to myself, boy, that's pretty intimate, you know. And I couldn't even picture God in that way. But I want you to know that that can happen, that I feel God in my relationship with David. And I can feel, I don't know, it's just contributing to his spiritual growth is as important to me as contributing to my own spiritual growth. And that I don't want to do things that are detrimental to his relationship with his higher power. And when you invite God into your relationship, or whatever you want to call him, spirit, higher power, whatever, when there is a power greater than yourself in your relationship, talk about fireworks. And I'm not, you know, intimacy and sex are two different things. You know, intimacy is really that link between you two. It raises above what you're doing with your body. It's about having that connection that I don't have with anybody else. And you know what? I love the heck out of him. And he loves me, and I can feel that. I can feel that. So I think that's all where I want to go. Do I have any more slides left? I don't know if I do or not. Okay. So take the steps and work on yourself and use the traditions to work on your relationship. It will help you to develop trust between one another. You know, I don't know if you knew this about us in a way, but we have some real strong egos and wills. Strong personalities in a way. And unity is such a beautiful thing to share in any relationship. Well, and it doesn't have to be marriage. It can be, and I don't care what your sexual preference is, if you're straight or gay or whatever, this, using the traditions on your relationship works. If you take this, I have studied the AA as well as the OA traditions, and I don't think you can have finer words written about the traditions than our own in OA. And if you read these and then look at them as how you can use them not only as a member of OA, but any group you're in, whether it's your marriage, your job, your kids' school, your family, your relationships will improve. And it starts with taking the steps and then using the traditions on your relationships. I just want to say, too, that what you heard in here, to remember anonymity, and because there's kind of, I'm hoping you all will ask some questions. I think we have time for some questions. Okay, and these are my opinions. I'm interpreting these traditions loosely, and you know, maybe someday in OA we'll evolve to the point where we will have some literature to help us talk about this very important part of our recovered lives. And that's all I got to say about that. Can you flip one more time? And I just wanted to brag about being in Region 8. That's the Southeast region of Overeaters Anonymous and includes all the southern states and South and Central America and the Caribbean islands. We speak 3 different languages in Region 8. Well, 4 if you want to count the people from Louisiana who speak Cajun. But I've had to learn Spanish, and I'm also going to have to learn Portuguese. I'm not good at it, but I can understand a lot. The more I go down to South America, the more I understand. So it's really pretty amazing. See, 62 is not too old to learn. Okay, maybe 1 or 2 questions could come up here, and then we could collect more. And then, because I don't want to waste all our time just looking. Okay. Okay, we'll get some more. Wow, look at all these questions. We did a workshop this morning on food plans, and there weren't nearly as many questions there. Talk a bit more about how you balance give, and maintaining your own identity. And how do you know when you are giving too much? Are there any people pleasers in here? Okay. People pleasing, doesn't that sound sweet? Well, I've changed. I don't let my sponsees say I'm a people pleaser anymore. I want them to say I'm a manipulative martyr. So if you're giving so you can get something out of it, then you're giving too much. But if your sole purpose is maximum service to God and the people around you, you can never give too much. So I got my identity through giving, and I don't know that I could ever give too much. Unless I'm doing it to get something for myself, then I'm giving too much. During sex, how do you let go of your body image issues and just on your body and be present and enjoy the experience? Woo! Give. Well, yeah, it really is about that. If I stop worrying about my own needs and when I take the focus off myself and give to somebody else, I get a gift. I don't know why that works, but try it. Try bringing, when you're in an intimate relationship with your partner, take the focus off yourself and see how you can be really, make sure they're feeling like they're at Disney World and watch what happens to you. That's the only thing I can tell you is try it. If it doesn't work, you can go back to trying to get your needs met. On page 69 of the big book, it says, is my relationship selfish or not? From your experience, give me examples of selfish behaviors that guys do and some ways guys can be less selfish, especially in the bedroom. Be specific if possible for a long-time married couple. Okay, guys. takes girls longer than it does you. Okay? So you might want to ask your wife, does that feel good? You know, is there anything I can do to make this more pleasurable for you? And if you take the focus off yourself, because you know, 9 times out of 10 guys, you're gonna get to nirvana, and a woman, odds are good that we won't, unless you're very attentive. Is that about right? Give it a try. I wish I knew who asked me that. You could write and tell me how it works. How do you discuss these traditions with your husband? Does he study them? Nope. He's not an addict. So I practice the traditions, and it affects the relationship. The other person doesn't have to be in recovery. He's a normie. He can eat a half a Tootsie Roll. He knows how to be giving. He's very generous with me. I'm the one that's self-centered, not him. So he doesn't really need to know about the traditions. He brings that healthy side of him to the relationship. You know, he's thoughtful enough to look at me the first time I take my clothes off and say, "You're beautiful." I could hardly look at him, let alone say, "So are you." It took me many times past that to say, "Gosh, I never told him he's beautiful too." So women, tell your husband how beautiful they are. You know what? If it's got a little pot belly, don't look at that. Tell him how great his butt is. There's got to be something about him that you're attracted to. Otherwise, you wouldn't be with him. If he's a good kisser, tell him, "Honey, I love the way you kiss." Or, "It makes me feel so special when you put your arm around me." If you're waiting for him to read your mind, it's not going to happen. And you'll be disappointed. And that was the ruination of most of my relationships before OA, is I expected my partner to be a mind reader, and they're not. What if you lose all sexual desire due to menopause? It is medical. How can you stay sexually active and not lose that part of your relationship? Well, I'm through menopause, and your drive does diminish some. So sometimes I have to initiate when I'm not really turned on. So, but there's a man I love very much, and I want him to enjoy an intimate relationship with me. So sometimes I'm not in a sexual mood, but I'm going to initiate anyway. And anytime he initiates, I'll participate. And the truth is, I don't always get my needs met if you just want to talk about like an orgasm, that doesn't happen every time. But I can appreciate the intimacy of that moment and enjoy the cuddling and the kissing and the hugging and the touching. And it may not be perfect every time. But if I go in with an expectation that it will, then I may come up disappointed more often than not. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about that. I grew up 225 pounds overweight and didn't date. OA took it off, but got hurt from girls cheating on me. I am so shy and now severely broke due to our economy. Do you think there is a way to ever come up, or give up trying? Okay, never give up. Work on yourself. If you have emotional problems, seek help. And if you can't afford therapy, go to a preacher. Or you can always get help somewhere, even if it's maybe you can't afford therapy, but maybe you can talk to your doctor or your preacher or somebody. Losing 100 pounds or more, or even being anorexic, 70 pounds and coming up to 100, is traumatic. I mean, we are trying to hide. Whether you're hiding behind a wall of fat or you're trying to disappear, we're trying to hide. And then when we come out from that, who tells us how to be in a relationship? Who tells us how to feel good about ourselves, you know? I just didn't lose 100 pounds and then feel like, woohoo, baby, here I come. You know, I remember I had taken off I was down to about a size 14 from a size 24, and I had a professional job, and I was going to a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and I was late. And I remember a friend had given me a little red dress. And I looked in the mirror that morning and I felt so cute. But oh, can you imagine feeling cute? And I was going up that elevator and I knew I was going to have to walk in that meeting late and everybody would be looking at me. By the time I got off that elevator, I didn't feel like I had that little red dress on anymore. I didn't feel like I had a stitch of clothes on or skin. I felt so out there. And I got off that elevator and I walked in and sure enough, every tent, her head turned and they hadn't seen me for a while and their jaws dropped. Well, I wanted to get back in that elevator and get my butt out of there so fast. And we can't, I needed to get some help with that. Because if you go over the top of that stuff, you're not going to get better. And so if you have emotional problems around your body image or because of abuse in the past, get some help besides the steps. When I was abstinent from sugar about 4 weeks, I started getting memories of childhood sexual abuse. And I talked to my sponsor about it. I like friggin' fell apart. My first 5 years in recovery were awful. But I did get help outside of OA. I kept going to OA and I got help and the therapy kind of took me apart and put me back together again right so that I could show up in a healthy relationship. And I'm in a healthy relationship today. And I'm really lucky because my religion offers an annulment process, and I was able to go through that. And that was like a big fourth and fifth step on all those sexual relationships of the past. And when Dave and I got married in 2001, I felt like I had never been married before. And I felt like a young bride. And, boy, is that a nice way to enter into a marriage. And I don't even think about those three other marriages as marriages anymore. I mean, I am in really the first marriage I've ever been in because I am emotionally able to show up and make a contract with somebody because that's what a marriage is. It's a contract. I mean, you have to go through legal things in order to get married. And I'm in a mental state where I can sign a contract like that. I don't know if does that answer your question, whoever asked it? If sex is bad, I don't want to continue a relationship. How do I fix it? What's wrong with me? Okay, it takes two in a relationship, so maybe nothing's wrong with you. If sex is bad, I'm just ask yourself these questions. Are you telling your partner what you need? Or are you hoping that your partner will just figure it out? You know, talk. And to say, you know, I would like to have a better intimate relationship. You know, how can we do that together? And maybe you both need some counseling, or maybe your partner isn't going to change. So if you want to fix it, it starts with dialogue, to have the conversation and then maybe get some professional help. And there's nothing wrong with you. There's just no books on this stuff. We don't have any books, and the only thing the big book has is page 69 and 96. So, it's one of the major parts of our life, and the one we get the least help with. Isn't that amazing? How am I doing on time? Oh, I've got plenty of time. Okay. I give to others too much, and I have a hard time letting people take care of me. Let alone take care of myself. Any suggestions? I'm not in OA because it's Mensa or because of getting... eating disorders are a disease of self-centeredness. And if you're giving too much to others, stop that. And you know what the best way to stop that is? Stop it. Because, you know, if you feel like you're giving too much, I don't do anything that there's not some kind of payback to me. I don't do anything that doesn't feel good. You know, I've never gotten up in the morning and said, this feels really good, I'm not doing it anymore. So if something doesn't feel right to you, that could be a little clue that it's not working for you. So if you are giving too much to others, you have to look for what your payback is. Why are you doing that? And, you know, I gave too much in relationships because I got to be a victim. And then maybe you'd feel sorry for me. Like if you felt sorry for me, you know, if you had my life, you'd eat too. But when I started looking at that, when I gave, it always had strings attached. So I'm not saying that's what you do, but you might want to look at that. Maybe there are some little strings on all this giving that you're doing. Because if you're giving too much, who's making you do that? You know, you're doing it because you get something from it. I would be doing it because I got something from it. And so people, I don't want anybody to be able to take care of me. I always was looking for somebody to take care of me. So what did I do? I married alcoholics that I needed to take care of. Well, they didn't need me to take care of them, and I didn't need them to take care of me. I'm a grown woman, and I can take care of myself. So I don't look for people to take care of me anymore. And that way I can show up in a relationship with something to give. And when you do that, you will get. It's hard to explain, but it works that way. Really? Wow. OA used to have a clothing optional meeting on body image, sexuality, relationships on Thursdays at Elysium Field in wherever you guys locally find, with the meeting lasted 16 years with thousands of OAers attending. Do you think we should start up this meeting? And then it has nudist written. I wouldn't come. I'm just comfortable enough now for my husband to see me with, in the nude. And you know, in OA, I'm often in situations where I have to room with somebody, and I'm very private about stuff like that. I'm not gonna run around the room with my roommate and not be properly clothed. It was a kind of a funny story, but when I first got abstinent, like I said, my life kind of fell apart and I was in corporate sales, and so I had to go on a sales trip down in Miami, and I just, you know, I would get out of Winter Park and get to Sanford, which is 20 miles down the road, and fall apart and call my sponsor, I can't do this, blah, blah, and she'd direct me to an AA meeting because there wasn't that many OA meetings in the area. And then I'd get a little further down the road and I'd fall apart again. I was just falling apart all the time because I just really fell apart when I got abstinent. And so I was going on a business trip, and I asked my sponsor if she wanted to go with me because she could go lay on the South Beach while I was out making sales calls, and then I would have somebody with me. Isn't that great? So she said, heck yeah, I'll go. So she took off from work, and she went down to South Beach with me, and she goes down, and she lays on the beach, and I went out and work, and that evening she comes in, and she walks up to me without a stitch of clothes on and said, would you put lotion on me? I said, not until you put some clothes on. Because I have boundaries, and she didn't have any, and she didn't stay my sponsor much longer after that. That didn't work for me. I'm kind of private that way. So you could try to start that meeting again. I don't know how you'd list that in your meeting list. It may attract more than OA members. I don't know. There really was a nude meeting? You guys went? Oh, you know, oh, look at them all back there. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. You know, we have a nude beach in the, I live in Titusville in the Kennedy Space Center's there, and just north of that's Port Canaveral, and if you park all the way at the north end of Port Canaveral and keep walking, you can get up to Playa Linda Beach, and it's illegal, but it's a nude beach, and then the police every couple of years will come and arrest everybody, but then they always start going back there again. And, one of my OA friends in, Central Florida, she had this bucket list before she turned 50, and one of the things she wanted to do was skinny dip, but she couldn't find anybody with a pool or anything, and so she ended up going to Playa Linda Beach at dawn so she could skinny dip, and you know, she'd lost 250 pounds, so I got swinging skin, and she really had a lot of swinging skin, but thank God she was able to do that for herself, and I think that's a beautiful thing. And to get to that point where we're not embarrassed about our bodies, because you will carry that into a sexual relationship. And, you know, in the beginning, it was like just getting okay with taking my clothes off in front of a man, you know, to just not be embarrassed about that. And now to be able to just get undressed, you know, and that's okay now. But for a long time it wasn't. I was terrified of that, you know, and I made Dave turn the lights out because it's, you know, it took a while. It took me 43 years to get that sick, and it doesn't, you know, we don't recover overnight. It takes, the big book says it's a long period of reconstruction lies ahead, and it definitely is applicable to our intimacy and sex.
How am I doing?
Wow, I got like 3 minutes. Thanks a lot for participating, and I hope you heard something that you can use today. I'd like to close with the third step prayer. What do you guys think? Okay? Oh, no. You know what I want to close with? Rosianne's promise. That's better yet. What do you think? Huh? Okay, well, how about you stand up and hold hands? How many people in here know it? Okay, well, those that know it, you can say it, we'll say it louder. And if you don't know it, just listen.
It's really beautiful.
To the left.